I offer to you now our scripture lesson for the sermon from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing and the application of his word, and may we live lives in such a way that honor the Lord, for we bear his name. You may be seated. In the beginning, there was work. Open your Bible, and you find work, activity, accomplishment, labor, endeavor, creativity. Things are being done. Things are being accomplished. There is work. Right in the beginning, there is God. In the beginning, God. Right in the beginning, creation occurs. God creates. And the Lord God chose to take 6 days to do this. He decided to spend that long to create, 6 real days. In the beginning, God is working. He is not inactive. He is not lethargic. God is not just there. Nor is he merely ordering things about. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is cosmic work. This is the fashioning of the worlds and all things therein. And this includes the wondrous and that which we might call the mundane. This includes the astonishing and the ordinary. Amazing. That which is astonishing and the ordinary. God is the cosmic creator, and he is a gardener. God is a cosmic creator, and he forms a garden. God separates the waters above from the waters below. He separates those waters, and then he also, right there in the Garden of Eden, forms 4 rivers to flow. God is the cosmic creator. He crowned his creation with his own image, shaping mankind from the dust and rib and making them male and female. He made them the crown of his creation in one sense, and he provided for them, one for the other and the other for the one. All of this received his commentary. Very good. Very good. In the beginning, there was work. What was this work? You know it, but it will do us well to look at it again. The earth was formless and void and covered with darkness. The earth was formless, so the Lord granted it shape. The earth was void, empty, so he filled it. The earth was dark, so he granted it light. He said, "Let there be light." Light was spoken into existence, and there was a division between darkness and light. God's work here even includes naming. God calls this something. Day and night. This is the first day. He divides the waters from the waters, and he names the waters above heaven, one of the heavens in Scripture. He names the waters above a heaven of sorts. He gathers then the waters which are below, he gathers them into certain places and separates them from dry land. And then he names them, he calls them seas and earth. He sees all of this and says it is good. From this earth the grass comes forth tuft by tuft, the fragrances of herbs billow forth. Fruit trees are formed immediately and recognizably with the seed in the fruit. That's the third day. The lights are named and the seasons are established. It's not just stuff, it's also the things we can't touch. The lights are named and seasons are established, days and months and seasons and years. The Lord creates seasons and years. Can you grasp a year? Can you hold a year? Two lights are prominent, one for the day, the other for the night. They are placed, they are suspended, they are upheld. Other lights are present, the starry host. These two are reflections. They are in glory and they reflect the glory of the glorious Creator, the artisan. Again, God saw that it was good, and this was the fourth day. The waters and the skies will now be filled. The creative work of the Creator continues. Birds and fish. The skies flash with the feathers of birds and echo with their cries and their shrills and their songs. The waters teem and they are stocked with the small and the scaled, the slick and the shelled, and with those of great size. This occurs, and it is seen by the one who is doing the work as good. And these inhabitants of the skies and the seas, these inhabitants of the air and the water, are then commissioned. They are blessed, in a sense. It's as if God speaks to the animals. He gives them a charge. He says to the animals, "Be fruitful. Multiply. Do this." It's the fifth day. There's another day, by the way. There's one more day of this creation week. This will be the last day. On the day before, the skies were filled, the seas were filled. Now the dry land will be filled. Creatures of various kinds shall travel the earth. There shall be walkers and hoppers and climbers and runners. Some shall creep, some shall skitter, others amble, some will plod, some will crawl, others will be able to be on the land and then swim in the water. The work was wondrous and wonderful. No wonder, one poet said, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. And yet there's more to this sixth day. The day's not finished. The Creator God chooses to make man in His image. All work reflects the worker. All art reveals the artist. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. All things crafted bear some imprint of the one who crafts. All things formed show the handiwork of the worker. The week of creation culminates in the crown of creation, the fashioning of those who would bear the image of the Creator. Male and female, He created them. In the beginning, God created. All of this, by the way, is called work. Our text today from Genesis chapter 2, summary statement, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished." What's this called? Read on. "And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done." Verse 3, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work, which God had created and made." It actually, Hebrew is something like that, "which He created to make." He created this to make it. He created this to shape it. This is called God's work. So in the beginning, there was work. And this is the right and best place to begin a series of sermons on the theology of work, the biblical view of work, the place of work. So just a few basic points today. Here we are. God worked and still works, and work is in itself not sinful. Just make sure we're clear there. The work of the Lord occurred without sin, apart from sin, and before sin entered creation. All of this is called work, and the work of the Lord God, work by itself, is not sinful. We need to keep that in mind. God chose to work. God delighted to work. God's working in creation, by the way, contrary to the way some people imagine this, or even if you hear, if somebody was to put a soundtrack to creation, you'd probably hear, loud cymbals and just huge percussion that would just rattle your innards. God in creation was not in some kind of mortal combat against the forces. God was not engaged in some kind of struggle and warfare against elements and things and working to put them into shape. This was not some kind of battle against chaos and rage. Not some kind of prehistoric combat of powers with one force finally saying, "I win, my flag is going to be here." If you were to ever read the Enuma Elish, you'd see these pagan or non-Christian notions of creation. There have to be this battle, and then all of a sudden, creation comes about. Creation is not the work of reconstruction. Creation is not the work of, let's fix this burned over district. Let's remove the debris and start with something else. No. God works from the beginning in holiness and in peace, from nothing unto everything, because He wanted to. God chose to work. Next, in the beginning, what we're dealing with here, and remember, this is basic. God's work was not, and here, by the way, if we were to take your thoughts on work, if I was to start today and say, okay, here's a piece of paper, I'd like you to write down what you think of work, you'd probably come up with all kinds of comments about work. I think work is this, and Lord willing, we're going to be dealing with these things as the weeks roll on. Here's some basics. Sometimes people think work is a necessary evil. I have to go do this. God's work, the fact that God works there in the beginning shows it's not a necessary evil. There's no evil in it at all. God works. Nor was God's work grudging duty. It wasn't grudging duty. What's the mirror look like now? In the beginning, God's work was not a punishment. Sometimes, and by the way, children, I must address you directly here. Sometimes you think that because your parents appoint tasks or chores, duties, you're thinking, perhaps you'll even say, "What did I do to deserve this? What did I do wrong? Why me?" Work is not a punishment. God's work was not beneath His majesty and dignity. Work was not beneath the Lord's majesty and dignity. Timothy Keller says it well. In the beginning, then, God worked. Work was not a necessary evil that came into the picture later. Oh, we're going to have to do that. Or something human beings were created to do, but that was beneath the great God Himself. No, God worked for the sheer joy of it. Work could not have a more exalted inauguration. Where did work begin? Right here at the beginning. What was work like then? It was not beneath the majesty and dignity of the one true God. Work here in this case, and remember, just for our purposes today, work in this case was not part of the curse. Work was not part of the curse. Now, some of you may be saying, well, but the Bible has other things to say. Right, we'll get there in time, Lord willing. We're dealing right now with the basics. If you want to know, what does God say about work? How does the Lord present work? Where do I begin with the theology of work? We begin at the beginning. And what's the first thing what do we first encounter when it comes to work? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Work was not part of the curse. So sometimes, and this is a big question as well, what will the new heavens and the new earth be like? Oh, I can't wait to get there because then I don't have to work anymore. That's a good question. Is that really what it's going to be like? So there's our beginning. There's our basics. There we are, and you're thinking, what's going on with Pastor Neil? Well, if I was a miner, here's the nugget. Here's the first nugget. Okay? If I was an artist, I'd be saying, okay, I've got the color palette ready, and the canvas is ready, and the etch, there. It's just, we're going to begin there. Oh, but I must conclude in some way, other than saying, done. We must conclude in some way. So here we are. In the beginning, here's our conclusion. In the beginning, there was work. Today, the focus is on God's work. What did the Lord do prior to sin in holiness, in majesty, dignity? What did the Lord... He worked. There's dignity there. And we'll see next week that the Lord God also gave work to us. But we can't go there until we first of all see His example. So when we start by saying, in the beginning there was work, this should, by itself, challenge some of our mistaken notions about work, its place, its dignity, its importance, its holiness. Just this alone should be enough. This is how the Lord's revelation begins. And this is how our thoughts ought to begin. Our thoughts about work and labor and endeavor. Before sin entered the world, before the fall, before the curse, we have work and we have our Lord's example. If I was to ask you, who's your example? After whom do you pattern your lives? We pattern our lives after the triune God. So we have our Lord's example with work, but we also have our Lord's example with work and rest. Work and rest. Rest. The Lord worked 6 days and rested one. This needs to be considered. We shall see as this series goes on that this is given to us as an example as well. Do you work 6 days? And do you rest one? We are to follow our Lord's example in both work and rest. And were we to do so, this would transform culture. Oh, why? Because it's its own culture. It's its own culture. Following the life and the example of the triune God establishes its own culture. If we were to do this in our homes, if children were to say, Mom, Dad, I want to follow the example of God who worked in dignity and majesty and with beauty and creativity, our homes would be transformed. This congregation will be transformed. And why is this presented? Because our testimony here and our testimony for the future depends upon it. How dare we just conclude that work is, well, it's four letters and it's not good. The foolishness of song lyrics and the foolishness that you find in movies and in print about work. Following our Lord's example in work and rest would transform the church, and the church then would be the agent following obedience of transforming households and society. Work and rest, by the way, There'll be more on this, I trust, in the future. Work and rest inform and define each other. Okay? You will not have any proper sense of rest if you don't have a proper work, a proper biblical grounding in work, a work ethic, a biblical work ethic. Nor will you have a proper understanding of work unless you know how to biblically rest. Our Lord gives the example of both. And by the way, our Lord's rest was not inactivity. It's not as if he said, okay, it's a different type of activity. John 5:17, Jesus says, my Father is working until now. He didn't just say, okay, the creation's going, done. It's a different type of activity. Work and rest inform and define each other. They do not make sense when one is gone and the other is emphasized. You remove one and inevitably you start to exalt the other. By the way, not only do work and rest inform and define each other, they also, by having this in proper biblical balance, does something else. This strikes at a couple of the idols of our day, a couple of errors that are present, errors that have been crafted into idols. I'd like to share those with you briefly, but we'll be swirling around this the whole time. A proper biblical balance of work and rest not only informs and defines each other, but they strike at some of the errors and the idols of our day. One of the idols, one of the errors is this: all rest and no work. This is the culture of laziness and leisure only or primarily. I work to get a paycheck. I work for the weekends. Why do we work? I work in order to get things. I work in order to sit down. Work is a necessary evil. Really, what the goal would be, what ultimately, if I could have whatever I wanted, it would be to just do nothing. One of the idols of our day is the all rest and no work mentality. This is where work is seen as a necessary evil, a drudgery, a way to eat and goof off and party and then eat and then goof off some more. And then goof off some more. And then eat so you can goof off some more. But then on the other side of that is the error or the idol of all work and no rest. This is the culture that has come to be named with an ism. And it is often misunderstood, by the way. Workaholism, the condition of the workaholic. All work and no rest, constant, frenetic, defining. The honor and the dignity of work in this has been buried with a tombstone placed upon it, because in this case, work has become the idol, the God, the Savior, the Messiah. Beware of reactions. C.S. Lewis said that the devil loves curing a small fault while leaving a large one present. He was speaking about pride. The devil loves curing a whole bunch of small faults, small sins, so that the man and the woman of pride can say, I'm doing pretty well here. Well, what the point is sometimes we'll react to one and then we'll get stuck on the other side. So the reactions, some will react to laziness with nothing but work. And some will react to what they think is overwork with nothing but excessive leisure. We need a biblical balance. The Lord worked 6 days and rested one. That work of 6 days, it may not be your vocation all 6 days, but it is work of 6 days. And when we begin to be a people of 6 days of labor and 1 day of Shabbat, Sabbath, rest, pause, we will find that our work is then offered more and more to the glory of God, and our rest is truly restful. But today was to simply look at this. In the beginning, there was work. May the Lord bless us as we look into His Word and as we attempt to follow His example. This is offered in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all of God's children said.
Amen. Amen.